Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. The following is a message from Heritage Foods USA. Thanksgiving turkeys in America used to be different. They came from a wide variety of breeds, they were healthy and raised outdoors on small family farms, their flavor? Exquisite. Continue this tradition with the same Heritage turkeys. Order yours now on www.heritagefoodsusa.com or call 718-389-0985. That's 718-389-0985.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard while we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along.
Welcome to Growing Good, everybody. We've got a heavy double hitter show today. We are going to be going over action alerts for the very important cause against fracking going on in our state. And afterwards, we are going to be touching upon lots of holiday markets. Holiday is around the corner. They're here. Christmas is coming. So let's get started because we've got a lot of information to go through today. Basically, I'm going to be giving you some action alerts that are going on in the next 2 weeks. Please participate in any way that you can. It's coming down to the wire, folks, and I want to thank Jen Watts of Calicoon, New York, for forwarding me an action alert that Victoria Lester sent out, in which she wrote, "I wouldn't send this if this weren't the most critical challenges we face, and we must do this if not for ourselves, then for the children we know and love. Their future is the biggest impetus to do whatever we can to stop this insanity. It's not just New Yorkers who will be impacted by this issue, but every living, breathing being on Earth will. It's that serious. The industry has the best PR and the deepest pockets. They have profits, not people, in their plans." So with new petitions and actions seemingly popping up daily, it can be a bit overwhelming to know what to do or where to turn to get involved against fracking. She'd like to suggest that we look at this onslaught of actions as a sign that the fractivists actually are having an effect. We can continue the pressure, we can win, we can save our water, air, and land, but we need everyone to participate. So the top two action alerts that are going on is the Delaware River Basin Commission, the DRBC, in Trenton, November 21st. There's going to be a rally. The DRBC will vote on fracking regulations at this meeting. If these regulations are passed, fracking could begin within the basin. This watershed provides drinking water to 15.5 million people, including NYC, Philadelphia, Upstate New York, PA, South Jersey, and Delaware. What you want to do is on Monday, November 21st, everyone is meeting at 7:30 a.m. on the steps of the Patriots Theater at the War Memorial. It's located at 1 Memorial Drive in Trenton, New Jersey. The second action alert is that they are begging people to attend the public hearing of the New York State DSGEIS, which is the Draft Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement on Fracking in New York State. This is going to be November 3rd, and the city hearing for us folks is going to be Wednesday, November 30th at the Tribeca Performing Arts Center, 119 Chamber Street. And for all of you that don't know about this topic, hydraulic fracking is an unsafe process that cannot be regulated. Every gas well drilled is a Superfund site. On the air today, I'm very excited to have Sylvia. Sylvia, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Sylvia. How do I pronounce your last name, please?
Kobowski.
Kobowski. I met Sylvia through friends of the Heritage Radio Network. She is an amazing mother in the city who has been organizing lots of screenings of the very important movie Gaslands at schools and also helping out. There was one at BARC recently for people to get involved. She made a very amazing pamphlet to hand out. I'm just going to go over it really quick. You can sign up for at least one of the organizations that I'm about to tell you to receive alerts. www.catskillcitizens.org, www.catskillmountainkeeper.org, www.protectingourwaters.com, www.earthworksaction.org, www.foodandwaterwatch.org, and www.damascuscitizens.org, also www.pennenenvironment.org. She is so amazing that she has also recently sent out an alert to parents, which I would love to read before I begin to talk with Sylvia. She says, "Hi there, mothers and fathers. Please forward of small children. This coming Monday, the 21st in Trenton, the Delaware River Basin Commission will vote on whether to permit 20,000 fracking wells in our watershed. Obama controls one vote on the Delaware River Basin Commission, and that's the rep for the Army Corps of Engineers. It happens to be the likely swing vote this coming Monday, as it's possible that New York and Delaware will vote against. Citizen action precipitated Obama's deferral of the XL pipeline, and it can do the same with fracking. Please call." She sent out phone numbers for parents to call and a lot of information here. It only takes a couple of minutes to make both these calls. If the DRBC votes to move forward with permitting wells, we're looking at about 20,000 wells in our immediate region, our watershed, and almost 600 chemicals and toxins. Over 90 are known as to cause cancer, used in fracking that affect children disproportionately, their brains, lungs, nervous system, and the volatility of the chemicals in the sun, open evaporation pits, spills, etc. This allows the chemicals to travel 200 miles downwind. This has been tested, and of course, drilling in the watershed means we will likely have to start to import drinking and cooking water in the future or suffer consequences. These chemicals cannot be filtered through any means. In the areas right around fracking, many cannot even shower in the water without getting lesions, nausea, headaches, vomiting. She says she knows it's hard to believe, but it's coming our way. Corporations do not have our health in mind when they pressure the polls to permit fracking without proper environmental impact studies. And she sent out these numbers. She wants you to call the Army Corps of Engineers at 703-697-4672. You'll get the secretary for the federal government's DRBC representative, Joe Ellen Darcy. You just leave your message urging the Army Corps to vote no fracking in the Delaware River Basin and that we expect leadership on this issue from President Obama. She also listed the White House number to call President Obama. It's 202-456-1111. The DRBC was funded by Congress under U.S. Supreme Court to order and manage the waters of Delaware River. Unbelievably, despite this watershed providing drinking water to 15.6 million people, 5% of all Americans, including NYC, Philadelphia, Trenton, Camden, most of South Jersey, almost all of Delaware State, the DRBC plans to vote on finalizing draft fracking regulations on November 21st. So we need to get up there for the rallies, pack up the kids, pack up the dogs, pack up the nannies, whatever you need to do to get there, bring the grandparents. It's really important. How are you, Sylvia?
I'm fine, thanks.
I'm so glad that you could be with us.
Thank you. I should say that if that's a lot of information for people to take in,
yep.
The best thing that they can do is, if you're in New York State, try today or tomorrow to sign up to, for example, CatskillCitizens.org.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in Pennsylvania, sign up to PennEnvironment.org. They will be sending out alerts. So they'll keep you informed in the next few days, in the next couple of weeks, about what to do. So you don't have to feel overwhelmed about too much information and too many sites.
So that's right, and you actually say that for general information on fracking and news updates, it's also good to go to www.frackalert.org.
Yeah, there are a few sites that have a very good, they, first of all, keep a stream of newspaper articles flowing. So you can read every single day what's coming out, because there's a lot of reporting on this now that there was not 3 years ago. And frackalert.org is a good site. CatskillCitizens.org also has news, a kind of news stream. You can like these organizations, Penn Environment and Catskill Citizens, on Facebook to stay informed. There's a lot you can do, but even if you just sign up to one organization, you'll get the information.
Well, the reason why I, as a mother, Sylvia, was excited to have you on the show, because in the brief conversations that we had on the phone, it seemed that, you know, your primary focus was for the parents, was for the children. And just hearing you talk was very inspiring. And of course, Growing Good is a parenting show. And I wanted to ask you, how did you personally become so passionate about the issues revolving fracking? And what plans do you have for the future to help us win?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, to sort of introduce how I got involved, I will, and to respond to what you said about my concern about children, it just so happens that my child is 29 years old. However, I still, you know, identify in part as a mother and
of course, it never
in my
stops.
Everyday life. Mm-hmm. And but I also know a lot about the fracking process, and I know that the fracking process, the chemicals used in the fracking process, which actually now, given the figures that you stated, are even worse than we thought a few years ago. I think they've now documented up to about 1,000 chemicals, about 78% of which are will cause a huge amount of disruption to the endocrine system and to the nervous system and the digestive system and the respiratory system. I think something like 48% of which are carcinogenic or are known carcinogens. The reason that I'm very concerned about children and that parents, I have thought for years that parents should get, every parent should be involved in the region, is that these chemicals affect children disproportionately. Right. Children's lungs grow until they're about 18 years old. So some of the chemicals that are used in this process, when they get into the air, can actually permanently destroy lung tissue. And that's permanent. The lungs cannot, you know, regenerate this tissue. There are the amount of silica that's used in the process actually gets into the air, can cause silicosis, which can cause lung disease that leads to lung cancer. Some of these processes are immediate. Some of the effects on the health of children are immediate. They will get certain neurological problems. They can develop asthma, and that's happened all over the place where this process has been taking place.
And this is all documented. They know this. This is tested.
Because this process has been going on out west for at least 12 years, and I should point out that this drilling process, fracking, is very different from any kind of natural gas drilling process that has gone on for a number of decades. And the industry will try to tell you that it's the same process, but in fact, the use of slick hydraulic pressure fracking with the kind of chemical cocktail of about 1,000 chemicals has only been used for about 12 years, and sadly was exempted in 2005. The gas industry was exempted from any oversight under the Clean Air and Water Acts, and in fact under the Superfund Act. So it means that even though every well that's drilled becomes a Superfund site, there's no cleanup money that will ever be available for these sites from the Superfund.
I'm a little bit illiterate. What is a Superfund site?
Well, you know, it's when a process takes place that involves the land in such a way, or water in such a way, that the site has to be remediated. In other words, you know, not, you know, as with Love Canal, sometimes you just have to move people out, and you can't really remediate a site. But where you have leakage of chemicals, which has happened over and over with this kind of drilling, where you have the contamination of water aquifers and the actual land, and the food chain starts to get affected, which has been proven over and over, or of which we have evidence, let's say, then, you know, there is a national funding for remediation of what they call Superfund sites. But in this instance, where money comes from the federal government to try to clean up these sites, in this instance, there are two problems. One is that the natural gas industry was exempted with the help of Cheney and a lot of other politicians in 2005. The industry was exempted from either any environmental oversight, according to the acts that we have in place right now, or from or regulation, or from you know, federal money to clean up the sites that are contaminated.
Right. Well, my next questions you've answered. You know, why is this fight important to you as a parent and the safety of our children, their lungs, their growth, their drinking water, everything?
And I want to point out, Alessandra, that I think what shocked my husband and I when we live in Manhattan, but we have a little house on the Delaware River,
right.
2.5 hours northwest of the city.
Beautiful.
We're on the Pennsylvania side, but we're looking at the other bank of the river across from us is New York State.
Right.
And it was 3.5 years ago that we found out when we got a call from a neighbor saying, you must come to a meeting, you must come to a meeting, and we found out that gas industry landsmen had been traveling around the region quietly, very quietly signing leases to allow them to drill on farmland, on whatever land from 5 acres to 100 acres, 200 acres that people were willing to lease over. These people didn't have, the reason they were quiet is they didn't want to raise the per acre fees that they were paying, which went from something like $25 an acre to $2,000 an acre over 3 years. When we found out about this, we realized that nobody was educated about the process. We had to educate ourselves. We were stunned to learn that the area was slated for approximately 20,000 wells. You know, the river basin.
Without you even knowing it, and you own property there.
No information had been given. Right. And this is the river basin that feeds 15.6 million people with drinking water.
And if there's any spillage, it's going to go way beyond the 5 acres that they, bought. It's going to affect everybody.
They frack up to 7,000, 8,000 feet down into the earth, which means that they are drilling through aquifer systems. They're basically trying to get at very dense rock formations 7,000 feet down into the ground that were really never meant to be tapped for any kind of natural, any kind of fossil fuel. What happens is not there are accidents that occur at virtually every stage of the process. But even worse, even if accidents don't occur, they've already been exposed as they don't know what to do with the wastewater when they bring it up.
Right, dumping, correct?
They have been dumping. They use over 1 million gallons of water for every fracking, and a well can be fracked, I think, something like over 15, I think up to 18 times. So, first of all, they have to take the water from our natural waterways. And second of all, they really don't have any place to dump this water because the water cannot be filtered. It's very salinated. They don't know how to desalinate it. That's been proven. And they've actually, in Pennsylvania, certain companies were exposed as receiving this water, water processing companies that didn't know what to do with it. They've also, the industry has been exposed as dumping illegally in countless times into waterways tributaries that feed the reservoirs and the in fact, the Delaware River is a direct supplier of drinking water. In other words, New York City gets its drinking water through pipelines from the reservoir system in the watershed, but the Delaware itself is the conduit for drinking water to approximately, I think, 7.6 million people.
That's why this is so important for us. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop you there, Sylvia. We do have to go to a break. But just like Sylvia is saying, she found out from her neighbor, and this is what you can do today. You can get informed. The information is endless. The fears are endless. The fight is ongoing. And we urge you to find out more about it and then spread the word, just like how somebody spread the word to Sylvia. And I just also wanted to point out that Sylvia, on her pamphlet, states that fracking is an unsafe fossil fuel extraction process. She wants you to call your governor and the White House to demand that fracking be banned. Call once a week. The Governor Cuomo line is 518-474-8390 for New York. New Jersey, Governor Christie, 609-292-6000. PA, Governor Corbett, 717-787-2500. Delaware, Governor Markell, 302-577-3210. And of course, again, President Obama, 202-456-1111. This is all information that I got from Sylvia. Sylvia, I thank you so much for all your work, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's a break. We're going to come back with the markets.
Take a short shower. Drop, 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 drop. Don't let the water run. Drop, 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 drop. Saving water is fun. Drop, 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 drop. It is. Drop, drop, drop. You can do it.
you can. If we can save water, the whole world can. You can do it. Yes, you can. If we can save water, the whole world can. Save some for the fishes. Use a little for the dishes. Fix that leak. Water saving technique. You can do it. Yes, you can. If we can save water, the whole world can. You can do it. Yes, you can. If we can save water, the whole world can.
Hey everybody, you're back with Growing Good. This is our holiday segment. We've got some Thanksgiving coming up. We've got some Christmas, Hanukkah coming up. We've got New Year's coming up. I am so excited to talk about DeKalb Market. It's our very own New Brooklyn amazing outdoor market. It's conceptualized by Urban Space, which was a British-based planning firm responsible for Columbus Circle Market and the Union Square Holiday Market, which has been around for over 15 years. Urban Space Management is an organization with over 30 years of experience in urban regenerating initiatives. And I am very proud to have the president of Urban Space NYC, Eldon Scott, on the line, who, you know, is a New York City innovator, entrepreneur, and policy expert. Mr. Scott, are you with us?
I'm here. Thanks a lot.
That's very cool of you. How are you?
I'm great.
Just a little more info before we get into it with Eldon. Urban Space is a leading developer and manager of specialty retail markets in the United States and Great Britain, drawing more than 15 million visitors to its projects annually. They find and showcase the best in independent designers, chefs, and boutiques. Their markets in New York and London are the best places to shop, explore, meet friends, and discover something new. So the first thing that drew me to find out about DeKalb Market was a very interesting article in an architectural magazine because of its design. It's amazing, Eldon. Could you tell me a little bit about the inspiration and how the designs came to be?
Sure. Yeah, we've been working with containers in London for about 12 years out at Trinity Boy Wharf, which is near where the Olympic Village is going to be. Mm-hmm. And we've created an amazing spot out there, which has about 60 or 70 different artist showrooms in this old industrial area, and we use containers. This was going back, as I said, 12 years, and it was very popular. People loved them, and we thought we should do it in New York City somewhere.
So the DeKalb Market, you guys, is constructed of salvaged shipping containers. How did you get the shipping containers over here?
They came from the port of Newark.
Oh, wow.
They're local containers. We didn't get them. Well, they all come from China. Most of the containers in the world are made in China. I've actually been to the container factory in China. It's amazing.
It's very cool. So basically, these vendors, you guys, they can rent out like little retail shops. They make their own little world in these shipping containers. But for the holiday season, there are going to be pop-up tents, which are going to be... They're ongoing, but there's a special holiday season that starts, after Black Friday weekend all the way to Christmas Eve. Then the market is going to take a break for January, February, and start back up in March. And I'm just so happy that you expanded to Brooklyn. Again, Mr. Scott, you know, is responsible for Columbus Circle and Union Square. You guys all know when the tents come up with the lights, it's just so precious and beautiful. What were your reasons to expand to our very own Brooklyn? We're so happy you did.
Well, they wouldn't take us at Union Square Park with containers. They said no. So we had to find another location.
So then you were like, you know who's going to say yes? Those crazy people in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and also we looked at all our vendors at Union Square, and you know what the largest number of people, where they come from? Brooklyn.
Right.
So it just made sense to go to Brooklyn and to find a site where we could do this.
And are you happy with the market? I know that food is also... a very big part of the market. A lot of your food vendors actually do shop from our sponsor, Heritage Foods, and it's all very organic. And it's the focus is sustainable, growing vegetables.
Well, one of our mission going from the beginning was sustainability. So we have a farm there. We have a bunch of different Brooklyn-based farmers that are working there. And
just a little bit more about the farm. The DeKalb Farm is a collaborative project for members of New York City's urban agricultural community. And plots have been provided to seven different groups. One is located on the rooftops of the neighboring retail vendors who have all designed a unique educational experience around their garden plan. I went by and I saw it, and it's there's lettuce growing. And so while you're walking around the market, you can also appreciate this very, you know, do-it-yourself garden they've got going on down there.
Yeah, and the garden really is about education. Mm-hmm. We had a bunch of focus groups before we started this, and we talked to people who knew more about farming, agriculture, and food process than we did as market operators. And they really felt that if we could bring the information about sustainability and farming to people who are at a market, that would be a great opportunity. So that's what we're doing. And we ended up getting a grant from the city as well to put a incubator kitchen in so we can do education for young adults who are interested in food.
Well, the food is amazing, and I'm so happy to be a part of it. I don't know if you heard, Eldon, I'm sure you have lots on your plate, but I myself am going to be participating in your holiday market with my new tent, Altarius. Which
fantastic.
Yay! It's all a salvaged products and toys and gifts for mom, dad, and baby from all over the world that I've restored. So I'm very excited to be a part of that. And I also noticed on your website that PS29, of course, this is a parenting program. PS29 came to the DeKalb Farm, and all the little first grader munchkins had a great time exploring the DeKalb Farm. And it was a day filled with crafts, planting seeds, and farming 101 taught by farmer Erica. And they topped the day off with donuts from Cousin's Dozen, which is a donut vendor at the DeKalb Market, and hot chocolate from Jacques Torres, which is very famous. It's my favorite.
Well, you know, Cousins Dozens used to be in the old Albee Square Mall, so we're really happy to have him in the project because we're on the site of the old Albee Square Mall.
That's amazing. And are there any events lined up, like music or anything going on for the holidays that we should
come? Yeah, well, we have Santa Box. There's going to be a Santa there that's, if you don't want to head out to the mall, which none of us want to do.
Yeah.
It's being designed by a group called Postmodern Production.
Right.
And it's really fun.
That's great.
That's going to be there the whole holiday season. And then we're doing something with Small Business Saturday, which is a big program sponsored by American Express on November 26th.
Wow, that's great.
And we'll have shopping and food and music by Beebox, which is, you know, our music guys are on site.
Uh-huh.
And 10% off everything that's being offered.
That's great. So would you say that this year's been going well? We should look forward to many, many more years to come for DeKalb Market?
Oh, yeah, we're psyched. We're planning for next year already.
That's amazing, you guys. The DeKalb Market is located on the corner of Willoughby Street and Flatbush Avenue. There's also convenient, I went down and checked it out, parking garages. There's two parking garages right there. For more info on Urban Space NYC, I mean, you guys blow my mind. Your team seems very tight. You guys can go to urbanspacenyc.com, and you guys, I'm sure, are on Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, yeah, you can find us on those spots.
Well, thanks for joining, Mr. Scott. It's very cool what you're doing, and I'm very, very impressed.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you. Have a happy holiday.
You too.
I just wanted to let you guys know, too, other things that you can find at the market. There is something really cool called the Dumpster Projects, and it's by artist Mark Primo, and he relocated to Brooklyn DeKalb Market after premiering at the Dumbo Arts Festival. And basically, he has one of these shipping containers that he's turned into his own salvaged kind of art experience. It's just very cool. And other vendors include innovative, unique products for children, clothing, and accessories, all in their shipping containers. I myself, Mama Sandra, am going to be there every Saturday and Sunday starting November 26th through December 24th, Christmas Eve, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. I'd love for you to come visit me. My tent is going to be called Ulterius, and I'm going to be selling all, salvaged, restored, and rare gifts for mom, dad, and baby. And I'm also going to be carrying handmade, unique products, homemade, that are made by other moms and dads in their very own home. So you can come by my tent and you can support all these new parents that are trying to figure out a way to, you know, put their kids through school in a cool, local, you know, organic way. So thanks so much for tuning in to Growing Good. I know that's a lot of info. You can check it all out on our archives.
This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it. Love to eat turkey. Love to eat. I love you. Love to eat turkey, cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should, cause it's turkey to eat. So good. That clapping's messing my head up, man. I appreciate it, but I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping. Here we go. Thanks anyways. Turkey for me, turkey for you.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.